Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello, and welcome to So What Do We Do?
Which is totally brought to you by Fax Zero.
That's correct. I'm Angelazer, and welcome to my new desk. It's new, and I'm real proud.
Fancy. Wow. Just look at that desk. I mean, you can look at you can look at the desk.
I think everybody can see it through podcasts. I'm pretty sure this desk is so good that you can just kind of see it if you close your eyes.
And they could see the picture that you put up on our little post. So they'll know what you're talking about.
Oh, sure.
And I'm Storm, doing my weekly commute from the pit of despair.
I'm glad you could make it out of the pit of despair as we climb slowly towards podcast joy, and then have to return.
This is so thoroughly helpful. I hope you and you listening also feel the same.
Is there anything else we haven't talked about that we should talk about?
Just the stuff we're going to talk about, really.
Okay.
I'm going to that right there. It's the sound of magic. I just popped a can of Moxie.
For real?
Oh, so for
Where
real.
Where do you even get Moxie?
Well, Mrs. Storm is from the Boston area, and we go up there usually a couple times a year. And I always make a point to go to a local grocer and basically buy as much Moxie as they have on the shelves in the little 12 packs of cans. And I meet them out.
I didn't even know it was still being made.
Mm. For sure.
What is it? How would you describe the taste of Moxie, which is like an old timey soda?
Yeah, imagine sort of Dr. Pepper, but like 50 times more medicinal. Like it really, because, you know, the history of soft drinks as we know them today, they really came from snake oil, pharmaceuticals, the idea that these were tonics. You would go to a soda shop, and they would mix up the different ingredients, some of which could actually have been medicinal. Think of it as homeopathy, herbal remedies, say so on what works and not. Famously, Coca-Cola having trace amounts, I believe, of cocaine in it, which, sure, that'll pick you up. And Moxie, really, I feel like, is it's like a dinosaur that managed to live deep undersea for, you know, a million years, millions of years. And came forth unscathed from that era, although I think they do use corn syrup. But besides that, yeah, it's medicinal.
So does it taste good to drink?
I love it. It's a polarizing beverage.
Yeah.
So it's very much, and then they market on that, you know, the idea that much like Dr. Pepper, but even more so, which I also enjoy, is the idea that, hey, you know, it's not for everybody, and that's fine, but I genuinely love it. There's a bittersweet thing that happens with it that is unique among beverages that one can purchase in the United States.
Hmm. All right, so you're drinking Moxie.
There is no endorsement from Moxie, by the way. That's just...
they don't need
it. Excited about it.
It sells itself. It tastes bittersweet and medicinal.
wow, it's. I think that it should be the official beverage of this podcast.
I'll look into it. Maybe Fax Zero can acquire that company and it'll all work out. I'm drinking coffee this morning out of my Schooner's Cove Inn Cannon Beach cup. We're recording earlier in the day than we usually do, and I am not a morning person, so I'm going to drink this coffee and throughout the podcast slowly wake up.
Oh, that's right. Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, good morning to you. And that's terrific.
Thank you.
Coffee. That's for doers. That's the doer drink.
It's so good. We have our own coffee maker now. We're drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Speaking of the East Coast.
Wow. Did you get one of the gigantic boxes of Joe and just draw down on that?
Yeah, we bought one and then we just, well, actually there are Dunkin' Donuts out here now and Boston Markets. So I could just be saving it all in the fridge and eat Boston-themed food for every day.
Would you want to do that?
I don't think so. I grew up outside of Boston, And I don't really, I have nostalgia for those things, but not in a way where I want to experience them.
Yeah, I get you. But certainly the split top buns that they put the hot dogs in, that would rock if you could get that everywhere.
That's true. Boston, they have some stuff going on. All right. I think we should talk about the news. I guess I've been avoiding it long enough.
Yes, I've been trying to be extra cheery. I know we have the offsets, but I feel that needed to be a little pre-priming to the pump.
Okay.
It's really spidered out right now. It's really that the fundamental nature of the country has certainly changed at this point, which I'm still trying to figure out how to frame the news because of that. But I'm just going to try the old conflating things because that seems to work pretty well.
Awesome.
So, first one I'm going with is actually five headlines together that I'm grouping under the heading "Not Lawless Yet." Not lawless yet. And I'm going to rip through these headlines, but if you want to discuss any one of them in greater detail, of course, just chime in or exclaim if it's something you hadn't heard of and it shocks you.
Okay. I will be here for reactions.
All right. Trump interviewed U.S. attorney nominees in New York. And sounds pretty bland, but this is highly unusual, perhaps unprecedented for a sitting president to be involved with this process because these U.S. attorneys have a lot of discretion and are supposed to have independence. And these U.S. attorneys that he nominated were for, oh, I don't know, cities where Trump has a large major business presence. So effectively could quash ahead of time any investigation into wrongdoing by his part. So that's one. But that hasn't happened yet, so it's not lawless yet. Number two, Homeland Security sees power grow under Trump. And this is not so much a specific thing that happened, but something that's just been happening increasingly, especially with immigration and customs enforcement, just proliferation of these folks out there acting in ways that it's perhaps skirting the law, but it's too early to say. But not lawless yet. Third headline, is the FBI setting the stage for increased surveillance of black activists? And this comes out of the Justice Department and old Jaffe Sessions, that they have been signaling through some of their statements that they are viewing black activists such as Black Lives Matter, which is not exactly a fringe movement, and signaling that they may be starting to view that as potentially terroristic activity. So not lawless yet, but even signaling like that puts a great chill on free speech.
Absolutely.
In North Carolina, Republicans stung by court rulings aim to change the judges so much as they've gerrymandered the districts for governance there. They now want to do that with judges. And, oh, by the way, they didn't used to be elected before. It's only now that there is a Democratic governor that they've decided the system needs to change. Mm. So that bundle is what I got for not lawless yet. These are things that are proliferating. Nothing is landing yet, but they're coming quicker. What do we have for offsets this week?
Well, Storm, I went into my bookcase and I was trying to find a Dungeons & Dragons monster manual because mm-hmm. I got excited about fantasy creatures. It turns out we have like 20 D&D books and none of them are the monster manual, which is really strange to me. But I did find a book called Dragons of Eberron, which I think is all about...
Eberron!
Yeah!
Yeah!
It's all about dragons. And so I thought we would just learn something about dragons. This isn't so much an activity as a learning activity, but if you have any questions, you can ask them. And if I don't have enough time to read up on the answer, I'll just make it up.
Sure. And you know that a friend of ours, a certain Keith Baker, is responsible for the realm of Eberron.
Yeah, I know. We have a lot of these books. We also have, apparently they put out a soundtrack that came with Eberron. I don't know. We have a CD. It's one of the like 10 CDs we own. We have a lot of Eberron stuff. We also have the Wheel of Time book signed by Robert Jordan, but it didn't have enough creatures in it. And by we, I mean my husband, who is still asleep.
Oh, no, I get you. Oh, I'll try not to record too loud.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that he could hear me from across the country.
Yeah. I put your sound instead of in my headphones really, really loud in the house, and then I talk quietly.
Yes, oddly louder than your own speaking. That's, I don't know what to make of that. But yes, please discourse on the creatures of Eberron.
Yeah, I'm excited. Honestly, I'm just learning. Here we go. So this is Vissilthar. Vissilthar the Shadow Seer.
Mm-hmm.
She is a black dragon. The thing that I like is she is magnificent to view, but she has a bunch of minions that don't know she's a dragon and apparently dresses in a disguise to recruit. So I'm imagining a dragon wearing like a large pink hat and like a fancy ruffled dress going down to the market like, I'm not a dragon. Do you want a job? And I'm pretty sure that's what she's all about.
I was picturing a ninja type deal. You know, when you said black dragon, I immediately thought this cloaked figure. But
yeah,
it'd be hard to recruit people if they couldn't see you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess you could just subtly drive people to think that they want to apply for a job, or maybe you make them do your bidding without them actually ever knowing that they're helping somebody else. Like, man, I really just want to go buy some walnuts and then drop them on the ground somewhere. That's what dragons need people to do, right? Collect walnuts.
That I'm pretty sure that's the heart of the whole dragon deal across all cultures. You know, you have your Chinese dragons, you have your English dragons, which aren't nearly as kind to the dragons, but it's all about the walnuts for sure.
I'm kind of flipping through this book. Apparently there's a place called 228 Bleak Street, which I hope is just a little house that the dragon lives in, because that's kind of amazing. I don't know that much about Eberron at all, and as anyone listening to this who does knows, but I'm really excited about playing it now that I see how cool this ancient black dragon spy master is.
Well, I guess we're going to find out if Keith Baker listens, because I think we might get an earful.
I hope so. Let's just try to make him as angry as possible. So the cool thing about Vissilthar, the Shadow Seer, is that she can only see shadows and not people or any objects. She can only see the shadows that they leave. So in complete darkness or complete brightness, she's completely useless and has to use radar.
Well, I don't know. I think we can still see the shadow of a tesseract, even though we can't see its image. And and that's pretty useful.
And that's what Eberron's all about, is the tesseract, right? Yeah.
Yes. All of Eberron is, in fact, a higher dimension that we can't perceive. So
I just realized. Which makes it go ahead.
Very difficult to play because you're basically, you know, you're just making it up. Not like regular D&D where everything is factual.
Yeah. I just realized I kind of settled in to do a whole podcast where we make up D&D, but we have to keep doing the news. So I guess we should go back to that and come back to this when that's done.
Maybe that's next week. We do it as a news D&D adventure.
Storm, that's amazing.
Stick a pin
idea.
In that.
It's an amazing idea. And we've got to do that.
All right. We will do that. We could improvise it, but I think with even 10 minutes of planning, it could be better. So
okay, I'm writing it down.
Let's carry on.
It's in my bullet journal.
Right. Yes. Yes. All right. You ready for your next little block of news? And I swear that's probably as bad as it gets, because that was really bad. That was bad. Bad. Okay, this one kind of finishes on, I wouldn't say a high note, but on a note that at least says not all heads are in all butts. This is under Who You Gonna Believe? Who You Gonna Believe?
All right.
Three headlines, or not three, two headlines and something that happened last night and today. Without saying Trump, Bush and Obama deliver implicit rebukes. And this was, to mine and most people's minds, a clear coordination of both Obama and Bush giving messages that were clearly denouncing the places that Trump and his administration have been taking this country and the divisiveness. Not the fake divisiveness of you're being divisive because you don't agree to everything I want to do that deprive people's rights. No, the divisiveness of not viewing other people as equally human. So that's a thing. Headline, nearly half of voters are buying Trump's bullshit about the media. And by the way, that is the headline. That's from Media Matters, which has been a very consistent and very sharp critic of the current situation.
Okay.
And that's kind of been true, that as by turns outraged, dismayed, angry that we are, that the folks that put Trump there, with maybe some exceptions, they're more than cool with it. And the last little thing in this block is flaking out. Jeff Flake, the senator, announcing just last night and on into today with an op-ed that he is retiring. And it's still, the fallout of that is still kind of, it's still being interpreted. But for sure, he is stepping down because he recognized he wasn't going to be reelected. He had been against Trump from the start, and he's...
This is a Republican, right?
Yes, yeah. And a very conservative Republican, even though now Steve Bannon Wing and the rest are saying he's not conservative. The term conservative has been perverted, at least for those who actually did believe conservative values and not just they were a handy way to conduct what turns out to be white nationalistic policies. So in terms of the who you gonna believe theme, this is all, you know, when you have very conservative, traditionally conservative folks stepping down and speaking out. That's the other part that I left out.
Yeah.
Just flat out calling Trump and the administration on being dangerous to democracy, something that we've been talking about for a long time and pretty much most of the people that are our friends. But to have a Republican and a high ranking one, even if they are stepping down, to speak that forcefully is significant. I don't think it makes him a giant hero. He's been voting with Trump 92% of the time, I read, and hadn't spoken up to this point. But the power isn't so consolidated at this point, I believe, that that it doesn't have any effect. So keep an eye on that over the next week, especially to see how the different high-ranking Republicans break, and if any of them who are not in a position where they believe they're going to be voted out speak up, then you really have something. But short of that, business as usual. So that's that block right there. What's happening in Eberron?
Oh, I'll tell you. So I found this section on rogue dragons. Now, what are rogue dragons?
I was just wondering that.
They're rebellious dragons. They also enjoy feeling powerful and in control. Same, you know? So I'll tell you about a couple of them. A copper dragon. Her name is Calvera. She desires nothing more to preserve her magnificence and, when possible, improve on it. Richard's awake. I hope he's not hearing this.
Huh.
Several years ago, she broke off a fang and used magic to fuse a diamond surrogate in its place. Amazing. Now she seeks out perfect diamonds, planning to replace all her teeth with the glittering trove. Oh, that sounds fun.
Now, why does she need to replace her teeth?
Great question. It's not on this page, but I can tell you from my extensive knowledge of Eberron that she needs to replace her teeth because she had a traumatic dental experience when she was a kid. She went to the dentist, and the dentist was like, "You didn't take good enough care of your teeth. They're all going to fall out someday." And she was like, "Well, screw you. I'm going to pull them out," because she likes being in control, as previously discussed.
Right, she's a rogue.
Yeah, but that dental experience did get under her skin, you know, her copper dragon skin. And It's like how we all have something that we hold on to, I think, from like middle school or childhood that we were never going to forgive anybody for. And that was the main one. That dentist really kind of made fun of her and made her feel small. So she is going to show him by having the best teeth ever.
You know what? I totally get that. And I think she's going to succeed. And you know what? That dentist is going to be shown and mm-hmm. she'll then be made whole. This is great.
She's going to get their revenge, and even though it's petty, it's actually going to work for her as opposed to how it doesn't work for the rest of us. Because it's a fantasy world. Eberron. That's what it's all about.
Eberron. Yes. Yes. People don't behave in those ways at all.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, dragons are people, too.
They are. This dragon apparently can live in human form, which the Thunderworm, I'm learning so much right now. About dragons.
Wait, did you say underworm?
Oh, no, the Thunderworm.
Oh, Thunderworm. Yes, okay. Different worm.
I mean, yeah, but that one I'm sure exists too. All right, news time. I'm just too excited about D&D.
Okay, that's good. All right, just one more little block, because the world is spinning too dang fast. And this is Russian to Judgment.
I love that, by the way. You're great. That's wonderful.
Thank you. In fact, it's a better pun than what it actually represents. But of course, it's about the latest in the world of Mueller and Russian investigations and shenanigans. So I have two headlines and a general class of things that is happening today. Headline one. Trump fails to sanction Russia over election meddling and defies Congress with 3-week delay.
Ooh.
So a couple months ago, or maybe 5 years ago, it's hard to tell anymore, Congress passed legislation basically saying, okay, because we have acknowledged that Russia messed with our election, there must be consequences, and you have X amount of time to prepare what these consequences will be. And day X approached, and Trump and the Klan basically said, "Yeah, we're gonna delay it. We're gonna punt on that." So a bit of lawlessness there, and just another data point that shows that Trump and is fine with Russia and whatever they might have done.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem suspicious at all in any way. So cool.
No, they're our pals.
Super cool.
good pals. And okay, the last two are really one thing. The headline is House panels probing Justice Department actions in 2016 campaign, which sounds innocuous enough. But basically, these panels have been called by elements within the Republican Party in the House that have been looking to change the subject away from Russia's interference and what really is pretty laughably clear to be Trump's collusion with it into anything else. Pointing the finger somewhere else, whether it's trying to disparage Comey, which they are doing, or today trying to make it about Hillary Clinton. It's just mind-boggling that this is happening, that they're going back to this idea that it was the Clinton campaign that funded this dossier of items, which, by the way, are turning out to be substantiated, a lot of them, which is not new news. I believe we talked about this previously, that this dossier that was compiled initially for a Republican entity before Trump was the nominee. And then once Trump was nominated, they dropped it. And the Clinton campaign agreed to fund it through this operation called Fusion GPS, which tends to be, I think, more right wing, but that is well respected as far as opposition research goes. And the rabbit hole kept getting deeper and deeper. So they're bringing this up to try to make it sound like this, pardon the term, this entire dossier was trumped up.
Hey.
But yeah. But in fact, no. It's very common that this research gets going and they want to change change the focus from the facts of what it is and that it has basically provided a roadmap for uncovering very real things that are happening and I believe are at the core of Robert Mueller's, investigations. And I believe that's why they're focusing on that, so that when Mueller comes out with his findings, and it seems like that's going to happen very soon, given how quick things are happening and all of these this chaff that's being sent up, that if they're able to impeach this dossier, saying, well, all of Mueller's work is based on this dossier, which we know is fake because part of it was paid for by the Clinton campaign, then they can prevent, I don't know what, because they don't seem inclined to impeach, but at least to try to blunt the force of those findings when they come out. And for sure, they want to hold off long enough to get their money giveaway to the rich that they're calling tax reform. So we'll see. The bridge is rickety, and it's hard to tell which way it is going to fall. So I don't know. Are there bridges in Eberron? There must be bridges.
Oh, there's so many. Actually, everything in Eberron is a bridge. Every person, every building. But when you think about it, everything in most worlds is a bridge that leads you to somewhere else. Every destination is just part of your journey.
That is actually true. Mm-hmm. At Eberron, in the language of Eberron, which is called?
Eber gibberish.
Yes. It means bridge. So full circle.
I want to tell you about Kiznak the Exterminator, because that's an incredible name. So here's the problem. So he was, as you know, exiled to Sendrick, which is...
Yep.
I don't need to explain that. So, but he has always been too friendly with elves for other dragons' comfort. His brushes with other humanoids have been less pleasing, so he has decided to exterminate the pesky non-elf vermin. Cool. All right, well, so he's kind of like a violent kind of person, or green dragon.
Well, you told me that one time about the party that he was at that basically fixed his opinion on these matters.
Well, yeah. He was at a kegger for his dragon fraternity in college, and there were elves there. The elves provided like the space and the refreshments, and then some non-elf humanoids, so like your humans, your half-elves, your orcs, I guess, would maybe be humanoids, dwarves, gnomes, showed up. And they started playing a really long game of diplomacy that really brought down the energy of the party, took a really long time, and they started without even asking him. So he didn't even get to play, even though it was basically his party. So that's why he doesn't like non-elf humanoids. They kind of, they showed up, like, it's not a party game, you know, diplomacy. If you're going to play a board game at a party, you need to make sure everybody's involved, and you need to make sure it lasts less than 45 minutes. That's my opinion.
Oh, God, yes. That's a rational dragon right there.
Mm-hmm. Kiznak the Rational Exterminator is what his friends call him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget that there are board games inside Dungeons & Dragons.
Of course there are. Mm-hmm. All the greatest things are in Dungeons & Dragons.
I gotta say, I really, really like this book, and I'm just gonna keep flipping through it for the rest of the day. It's got maps, it's got pictures, and it's got just so many dragons. So, and phrases that you'll look upon, for example... The dragons had no tears left to shed. I don't know what that means, but I want to find out. Good work, dragons of Eberron.
It's a whole world unto itself, a world of ears, a world of sound, and not sight.
Right. It's weird, Eberron. It's weird that you can't see anything there, and everything is a bridge. I mean, but they put out a lot of books, so it must be a thing that people like. Okay.
For sure.
Do you have any more news for us, Storm? Or has everything already happened and we can go to bed?
That's everything. And and we've dealt with it. It's been tied up. All of the bad guys have been rounded up. All of the good guys are doing good stuff. And there's peace on Earth. It's great.
All the good guys are getting awards from Princess Leia, except for Chewbacca for some reason.
Yeah. What was the bull cahonker excuse they gave for that? Like, there was some reason that they decided, oh, yes. Well, no, it's because he had a special Wookiee ceremony beforehand. I don't remember.
Like the technical Emmys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The technical Emmys, but for Wookiees and saving the galaxy.
Right. It's actually a higher honor if you are not given a medal at the ceremony.
Yeah. He can't wear a medal. He's allergic to most clothes. So you can't put a ribbon on him.
Yeah. So, yes, that's the news.
Oh, is that in fact all of it? Okay, wonderful. Well, let's take a quick break to read this ad from Fact Zero and come back with listener questions.
That's a swell idea. This week, so what do we do? Is sponsored by Facts Zero.
At factszero.com, you can send free faxes anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, including to your elected representatives.
And any dragon will tell you that Facts Zero has easy links to fax the people who represent you or anyone else or your dragons real, real easy. They'll even autofill your reps and dragons information for you.
If you got a green dragon, you got a gold dragon, you got a copper dragon, you got a, I'm pretty sure there's white dragons that are like frost dragons. Any of those, you can send 5 faxes a day, up to 3 pages each, for completely free. Did you know dragons all have fax machines? That's true. If you want to go
all 5 of them,
all 5 fax machines per 5 dragons. That's a math problem for you. If you want to go all out on faxes, you can choose to pay $1.99 per fax beyond that to get to even more dragons and parts of Eberron and U.S. and Canada.
FaxZero.com, always a critical hit.
Storm, we have questions this week. I'm so excited. They are from our ask.fm page. If you go to ask.fm/sowhatdowedopod, I'm almost 100% sure that's what the thing is. I will also put a link in the description of this podcast. You can send us a question. It can even be anonymous. And if you remember, Storm, the best part of these questions is that you ask and read the questions in a funny voice.
This makes me so happy. It's been a while since we've had questions.
Yeah.
And I think my funny voice generator is recharged at this point.
Oh, good. So, yeah, don't hurt yourself.
I've not seen these questions beforehand. I'm gonna go with try a dragon kind of thing.
Oh, excellent.
So it might not be funny. If you're scared by things like scary dragons, just, close your ears.
Pretend it's a gold dragon. Gold dragons are good dragons. I learned that because we wanted a dragon on top of our wedding cake, but we could only have a good one because a lot of dragons are evil.
That's right. Unless you're bad people, in which case, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the question.
All right.
Oh, wait. Is this 2 questions? Yes. It's 2 questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first question of 2. What is the funniest, inoffensive, and non-profane interjectory expression or exclamatory phrase you could use in lieu of cursing? For example, tartar sauce, consarnit, or dagnabbit.
That was incredible. That was, I would say, better than Benedict Cumberbatch's Smaug.
Wow.
But also a kind of a lot like Benedict Cumberbatch's Smaug.
Thank you. I was trying to channel Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing the word penguins for like a week.
Oh boy!
Even before I knew that question was coming.
The question is, how do you swear without swearing? Great question. Mm-hmm. I'm super into this show, The Good Place.
Yes, me too. I've been binging it over the last 36 hours.
Oh gosh, how far are you? We need to talk about this. The Joseph Scrimshaw and Sarah Scrimshaw were watching the first season, and we were like, "Can we just watch the end of the first season, like, so we can talk about it immediately when it's done?" Because I just love the show.
It's forking amazing.
It is, and I have been saying that in the show, if you haven't seen it, they don't swear. They are, like, because they're in this good place, this sort of heaven-like place, they can't say bad words. They say forking and ash hole and what the shirt.
And it's so natural the way they do it, like, because they're so, I don't know, it's, I think, just great performance that the face, the expression, the delivery is just like the word that you know they are trying to say, and you just buy it.
Yeah, and I've been doing that, just picking it up from the show. So I recommend that. I like What the Fork and Forking Amazing. He doesn't listen to this show, but apparently my grandpa, a minister of many years, said the word bitchin' the other day when he was making up a song about a kitchen, which made me very happy. Those are two related swearing stories. Storm, do you have favorite non-swear swears?
I like to just make them up as I go, because sometimes something just feels right. They're not like the ones on The Good Place. They're not derivative from the actual ones. So it doesn't have that level of comedy. but a go-to of mine is biscuits, biscuits, or you can combine them. Biscuits is a great kind of base word to go with. So you can have fudge biscuits, or it can be a Snicker biscuits, tickle biscuits, biscuit soup, great biscuits on parade. You can go a lot of places with biscuits.
That's fantastic. I think you nailed that one. Let's go to our next question. This one actually has a voice request.
Yes. This one, should I do it and see if people can guess what
it
is?
Yeah, do it.
I mean, you already know because you're looking at the same Google document.
I am.
Okay, here we go. Hold on, got to get into character. All right. I'm adjusting my posture. All right, there we go. There, that's it. I want to read what the other side reads and sees. I don't want to give Breitbart and Fox News the clicks and recognition. Is there a way to get the information they post without giving them to the benefit of my attention?
That's good. I thought.
Yeah,
that...
I gotta say I didn't buy it. I committed. If you want to tell them what.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, hold on. Well, first, what do you think it was?
Oh, I thought. Listener? Oh, yeah. Listener, please tell us, guess this word. Guess the voice.
Go ahead and shout it out. Go ahead and shout it out.
You're right. You're right.
How about that?
It was William Shatner. Thank you for the request.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we, if you want to actually read places like Breitbart and Fox News, but don't want to give them ad revenue, there are a few sites that have been created and recommended just for this. The easiest one to recommend is donotlink.com, which is specifically accessing through some sort of magical internet way so that you won't give the benefit of your clicks to a space. There's also a lot of, if you go to archive.org/web and paste your URL into that site, it does a similar thing. If that's the thing you want to do, there are two resources for you. I think it's probably is good to know what the other side, what people are hearing and what kind of news is getting out for everybody. It's, of course, unfortunate to me that there are multiple versions of news right now.
it hurts my heart. It is shocking. That's terrific. I'm going to look at those. What I do is I use, I'm a pretty big fan of, like, it used to be called Google Now, but basically the Google News service. And it's a form of artificial intelligence, which means it's still kind of flawed and eventually will take over. But after you use it a while, you can get a good look at things and you can dismiss news sites and sources that you simply don't want to see. So there are the most fringy, wingy ones that I do that with. But I will allow it to continue to feed me headlines from places like Breitbart, Fox News. I don't dismiss them out of hand. Mm-hmm. I don't click the articles. I find that with what appears on those sites, you don't need to read the articles.
Yeah.
Like, really, what if you just see what is being highlighted, and I know at this point, whatever filters through through into my feed is generally what they're drumming on the most. And every once in a while, I will still go to, you know, Fox News in particular, because they're very much the mouthpiece of the current people in power on the right. So
yeah.
Don't even know how to define it anymore. So, yeah, but that's terrific. And I agree that it sucks to give them clicks or any attention. On the plus side, I saw an article a day or two ago that showed the relative change in the web traffic at different sites. And Breitbart and some of the other most hateful ones, their web traffic is way down, way down.
Oh, okay.
And now Fox News is not down. And then sites like, of course, MSNBC, way, way up. And this does not surprise me. Businessinsider.com. I've actually found them to be a remarkably good source for finding stuff that's maybe not being drummed on the most by the big sites. And I used to make fun of them because so much of their content, it really wasn't directly related to business. But I think that came from its start from, a Silicon Valley mogul who wanted to start up news. And
yeah.
It's become a lot more than that. Anyway, the better sources are starting to come to the fore, and Axios as well. But getting back to the question at hand, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, there are ways that you do not have to contribute to the well-being of sites that propagate untruth.
Yeah. Well, that's a good serving suggestion. Shall we finish up our serving suggestions and move on with our day's storm?
Yeah, let's do that. So, yeah, absolutely. Your serving suggestions include those. And it's funny that The Good Place would come up because I feel like this is a gathering strength phase.
Mm-hmm.
That things are not focused right now. There are always things that if you want to do something for people, I feel like you know what they are now.
Yeah.
And that it will be time to direct our attentions, but it's not this week. So
yeah.
I feel like doing some things that'll put you in a good frame of mind. And absolutely, The Good Place, which is on NBC, the first season is on Netflix, I know, because I watched the whole thing yesterday.
Yeah.
And the rest, it's mid-season right now, so you can still get caught up and still be relatively on the inside. But it is, it's basically, it's going to sound dry to say it this way, but it's an exploration of ethics and how that plays out in not real situations, because it's fantastical, but fictionalized in a way that's very fun, but I think still very meaningful. And not that I've, having watched most of it in 36 hours, I can't say I've absorbed it, but
yeah.
It's already given a lot of food for thought. I don't know, what's your experience been with the show?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it makes you think about human behavior a little bit, but it's also just a really silly show. It's made by this guy who made Parks and Rec, so it's just silly and bright and makes you feel good to watch. So check it out.
And also, one of the writers is one of my very favorite writer tweeter people, Meg Amram.
Yeah. Oh gosh, have you started watching season 2 yet? Oh my gosh, Storm. You have so much to look forward to.
Yes, I have.
Yay.
Yes, I have. And oh my God, like, you know, for my money, she's one of the funniest people alive.
Yeah.
And all the writing and all the performance. It's just one of those, I don't know, I feel like it's very rare that I'm actually watching something as it is in its prime and descending. And you can get in on that. So that's one of the feel-goods.
Yeah.
And the other one, which, my gosh, I'll go ahead and say I've been really down lately, really, really down, which is something that I have wrestled with my entire life,
yeah,
particularly teenage years on. And I watched on Netflix, there's a Patton Oswalt special called Annihilation. And in it, he starts with a whole bunch of just great material about Trump and this current era. And he also has material about being a widower.
Yeah.
I think most people know that his wife passed away. She was just, Patton woke up and she was gone.
Yeah.
Not physically. And he shares his experience in a way and draws the best of what her life was in a way that is funny. You laugh. I mean, it's a comedy special, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But much more than that, that through his experiences, I feel like you get a perspective that you can't get any other way, which I guess is sort of the definition of art.
Yeah.
And that, I was in a really down spot when I watched it, and that really, I'm not going to say cheered me up, but it, I'll say that in part, but it was more than that. It wasn't like, oh, ha ha, now I'm all better. And it's not like that, but you will feel happier and enriched. So I'll leave it at that.
That's awesome. Yeah, so do your feel-good watching, and thank you so much for tuning in, everybody, to what are
yeah.
we? So what do we do? I was about to say The Good Place. We're not The Good Place. We're trying. It's fun to talk to you. I want to give some shout-outs to some people who have been talking to us on the internet. How does that sound, Storm?
That sounds like an amazingly good time.
Okay, well, Clara Kelly, one of our big supporters, has been listened to our last episode and said she has also adores the Muppet movie, and we talked about that a lot. I don't know if you remember. Said, I've been encouraging myself with, can you picture that when Dr. Teeth says,
yeah,
even Santa Claus believes in you, which is an amazing line and very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
I also asked everybody how they were doing today. Craig Steffen said, I challenged him to do three words of your day. And he said, not coding is boring. So that's how Craig is. Thank you for tuning in, Craig. I also got some more messages. Heather Lynn Majors is wearing pink at work.
Yeah.
She looks great and has a great bandana and a Wonder Woman lanyard because she's amazing. Dario has to put their feet up and watch Netflix because of doctor's orders, which makes me happy that you're taking care of yourself. I'm sorry about whatever happened that you had to go to a doctor. Lucia Fasano is going to Dollar Tree with her mom. I hope that's amazing. Dollar Tree is the best.
No doubt. Yeah.
They have so many good things there. My favorite thing is to go to a dollar store and talk to my mom on the phone and ask her how much she thinks things cost. It's going to be funny to us for the rest of our lives.
So you have your own personal version of the Price is Right.
Exactly. But only at a store where everything costs a dollar. Jonathan Gould says he woke up gripped with inexplicable fear, but just ate an apple with my lunch. So things are looking up. Oh,
all right.
I feel like fear is always explicable right now. Explicable? Explicable?
Yeah. Explicable. Sure.
Ooh, Kieran is figuring out the best way to print business cards. Getting ready for networking fairs. Business cards are fun. It's fun to like create a branding for yourself, huh? What do you think, Storm?
That you got to do that. You got to have a brand. Got to be a brand individual.
A brand of Vigil. I've been doing some consulting recently and saying the word brand out loud more than I usually do. It's fine.
It happens sometimes, and in my lines of businesses, there's a reason corporate speak exists, and that a lot of it's really useful.
Yeah, it is. It's okay. Things don't have to be bad just because they're ubiquitous, I guess. Yeah. So those are our friends on the internet. Thank you for tuning in. We love hearing how you're doing. At least I do. How about you, Storm? You like hearing how people are doing? I want to speak for you.
Very much. So please, it's good to hear what's happening with you.
Yeah.
Because we can't set up a microphone for everybody yet.
Yet. We have enough technical problems already. I have blown through so many earbuds and I don't really know how. So, thank you everybody for tuning in. I'm going to ask everybody about their Halloween costumes this weekend. I hope we get to see them. It's fun. This is my serving suggestion just based on my own life. It's fun to celebrate holidays, especially, ones that you can really make your own, because then you remember that time is passing and it goes by a little bit slower. So tell us who you are for Halloween and send us your picks, because we'd love to see them at So What Do We Do Pod on Twitter. We're on Facebook at So What Do We Do is our group, and So What Do We Do Pod.com. If you have a minute this week to review our podcast on iTunes, that's a thing that people ask people to do at the end of their podcasts. And please check out Storm's Kickstarter for Sidecar Astronauts, because it's incredible.
Thank you for the plug.
I really like the Spotify playlist you're making for all of your band members. It's fun.
Oh, thank you. That was our good friend Tara Heller's idea. Thank you, Tara, for that suggestion.
Oh, she's wonderful. Okay, we're going to take off now. We've been talking for like almost an hour. This is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Angelazer. I'm out of the pit for a while thanks to this.
Okay, I'm going to read a brief sentence from the Dragons of Eberron book, and then we'll say goodbye. Here we go. Thus Eberron became the world on which all life grew. To this day, she nurtures and sustains all. Sybaris's remains became the ring around the world. His scattered scales became the stars. Kibber remains trapped within, the dragon below, the mother of monsters, the source of all darkness, forever struggling to escape and bring an end to an all. All right, that got darker at the end than I expected. Thanks for tuning in to So What Do We Do, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.